Matthew chapter 5. Let's look in the Word of God. I preached this message here about 3 years ago. And boy, to my delight this evening, the Lord seemed to deal with my heart about it. And I want to pass it on to you. I feel like it'll help us get ready for our fall program coming up. And bring some things to your remembrance you should know that we should all understand about being a Christian. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor," see, that's the flavor of it, not his savior, "wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." I want to preach to you this evening on the subject, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, the Lord didn't waste any words when he said that. When the Lord said we're the salt of the earth, he wasn't just telling a little story. He meant something when he said we are the salt of the earth. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to tell you why he called us the salt of the earth. And I'm going to draw a comparison tonight between salt, real salt, and what it does and its purpose on this earth, and a Christian. We are the salt of the earth. The Lord has salted down Marion with this church right here, with this group of people. And every Christian, we are the salt of the earth. Now, to get the point of this message, I must give a remark or two before we get in the outline. And the remark I must give is, to get this message, you're going to have to get the stuff out of your head that you've been hearing about salt. Salt has been given a bad name in the last few years. These days, when you talk about salt, people say, "Oh no, you should never eat any salt at all." Now, if you're not careful, that'll mess up the way you look at the Bible. There's nothing wrong with salt. You say, "Well, my doctor said," well, I don't care what your doctor said. Jesus said, "Salt is good." Settle. Period. Amen. Forever. Amen. For all eternity. Jesus said, "Salt is good." He didn't say it's good for you, but he said it was good. Now, the truth is, a certain amount. Now, I hope that sometimes if you've had a heart attack or something and you have to stay off salt, then that's understandable. I know some of you do, and I feel for you. Lord knows, I really, really feel for you. But there's nothing wrong with salt if it's done right. Now, what's killing our generation is not the salt in us. What's killing our generation is people don't sweat no more. Used to, people sweat a lot and they got the salt out of their body. Nobody sweats much anymore. You show me a person that sweats a lot, they don't. Man, grandma and grandpa, they lived off red eye gravy and country ham and pork chops and all that stuff. And some of them live long as we do, or maybe even longer. You know what they done? They sweat like dogs every day of their life. I think that everybody here, you need to do something that'll make you sweat real good. So, you know, I get to eat salt because I'm up here getting rid of something of mine tonight. And all you do is sit in an air-conditioned car and in an air-conditioned office and an air-conditioned home. These days people say, "Oh, I'm sweating. Oh, just a little bit start trickling down through here." Man, you know what people used to do? They used to get soggy. Grandma would go out there in the field. I mean, they'd wear long sleeve shirts and them old hats. And after you get good and sweaty, you know, it's not that bad. You kind of stay a little more cool. But tonight, that's what's killing us is no sweat. You sweat enough, it'll get salt out of you. And a lot of other junk, too, that you need to get rid of. But I want to bring a comparison tonight between salt and Christians. Number one, salt keeps meat from putrefying. It preserves meat. It keeps it from rotting. It really does. It is called the blossom of nature. They keep it from, you keep it from corrupting. You keep the meat from being just turning rotten. I don't know how it does it, but it does. I remember when I was growing up, we'd come to this time of year here in about the next 5-6 weeks, and I'm sure some of you men here know what I'm talking about. We called that hog killing time. And you always had to wait till it kind of got a little cold. It got maybe a frost or two on the ground. I don't really know why they did that, but that's what Daddy always did. My Daddy, I remember they killed a few hogs down there where I was growing up. And what they'd do, they'd fatten that thing up and fatten it up and fatten it up and fatten it up and fatten it up and feed it corn and feed it slop and feed it anything anybody wouldn't eat. And them hogs would just eat it up and they'd keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, one day, they would kill that hog. And when they killed that hog, I remember they had this great big 55-gallon barrel of water. And they put that water there and build a fire under it where it'd be just hot, scalding water. They'd kill that old hog man and take that big ham and stuff and drop it down in that water, and it would scald it, all the hair off of it, most anyway. And it'd just burn it off. And then they'd take this great big long table there, and they'd put that ham on that table with salt about that thick and just roll it over and over and over in that salt. Then we get it up, they'd hang it up in the smokehouse, and you know what that salt would do? It would preserve it. You could go back 6 months later and get a piece of that out of that smokehouse and slice off a piece of that stuff, and buddy, it would be just as fresh. Man, you put that stuff in the frying pan early in the morning, Lord, my mouth's watering right now. Amen. Woo! We're going to get some of that tomorrow morning. But did you know what? I mean, you ever smelled out of the morning that gravy and ham frying in tenderloin and on the stove of the morning? Ain't nothing like it, brother. Nothing like it. Thank God. Thank God we're under grace. Amen. But did you know what? You know what? That's the best smell. And it's good. I'll tell you what. You leave that salt off. You leave that salt off. Don't put no salt out and hang it up in the smokehouse and go back and get it 6 months later. Son, it'll be purple within a week. It'll kill you better than 4 o'clock if you eat a bite of it. I mean, you know what that salt does? It keeps it from just turning rotten. I thank God tonight, brother, that's the way God's people are. You think this world's bad now? You wait till God's people's gone. It's going to turn up because it's going to rotten completely. The only thing good about this world tonight is they still some Bible-believing Christian salt over this thing. Keeping it from just going completely to the devil. Amen. Just like God in Genesis chapter 18. I mean, it's just like Roundup, son. You shoot them, right, shoot them weeds with it and it killed them. Shoot them weeds with it. God's people preserve this world. Back in Genesis 18, God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, I got kinfolk down there. Lord, what if I can find 50 grains of salt? 50 righteous people. Will you spare it? And the Lord said, yes. 50 grains of salt are enough to preserve that wicked city. And Abraham said, now Lord, oh my soul, what if they ain't 50? What if there's only 40? What if there's 40? Would you spare it for 40? And the Lord said, yes, I'd do it for 40. 40 people down there that's righteous, I'll spare the whole city. And Abraham said, but Lord, maybe there'll only be 30. And you know, he finally come on down to 20 and 35 and 30 and 10. Got him on down to 10. And the Lord said, for 10 righteous souls, I'll spare that city. And sure enough, brother, he couldn't even find 10. But the point is, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if there had been, if Lot and his wife and their daughters and had a few converts, the whole city would have been spared. I thank God this evening that salt keeps food, meat from putrefying, and it preserves it. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. The house of Judah was spared because of a remnant. The people in Nineveh were spared because people repented. It does make a difference how God judges a nation by the people getting right with God in that nation. I tell you, we need to reach every person we can and pray and seek God that He'll have mercy on our old land that we're living in. Number two, salt seasons food. and makes it taste good. Now, if you're like me, I'm a fanatic, and I know that one of these days it may get to where I can't do this, and I hope and pray it don't. And I feel sorry for you. I tell you, a lot of these guys, I go visit them in the hospital, they've had a heart attack or something, they say, the doctor put me on a no-salt diet. Oh, my goodness. That would be awful. I tell you what I do, buddy. When I salt mine before I even taste it. I know it ain't got enough on it. And, especially stuff like mashed potatoes. I was talking about baked potato a while ago. This point that I made says salt seasons food and makes it taste good. Did you know a baked potato with no salt? Good night, man. Just let's have a piece of paper. Let's wad up a piece of paper, put it in water a little bit, put it in the microwave, and just eat it. Same, it tastes exactly the same. There's no taste at all. You know what gives it the flavor? The salt. Amen. It seasons food. The Bible said in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Can you imagine eating a slice of roast beef with no salt at all? None. Or corn on the cob. That'd be awful. Man, I'd lose weight, man, if I couldn't eat that. Because I wouldn't want nothing to eat. Roast beef, oh, can you imagine? It'd be just like chewing an inner tube. Or something like that. Just chewing it up. No, none at all. You know what, brother? You know what Brother John did a while ago when he jumped up there? The Bible said, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what he did when he jumped up there a while ago? He threw out a little salt on this crowd tonight. You know what Boyce did? Did you hear it? And you know what Duffy did? And you know what they did, brother? They was throwing out some salt, man. Throwing out some salt on this congregation. That's one reason why I appreciate the way our song leader leads us singing. He don't just get up here and just dry. Well, let's sing this one. Number this, number that. I like the way every once in a while he gets into it. Hey, I've seen him run on the front benches. I've seen him grab a flag and run. Hey, you say the minister of music? That's right. Throw a little salt on there, boy. That makes it taste good, man. That makes it taste good. Listen, you Sunday school teachers, you know how to make your lesson taste good to the kids? Put some salt on it. Let it be real. Shed a tear. Raise a hand. Put some salt on it once in a while. It'll taste good. For anything I can't stand, it's to listen to a preacher that ain't got no salt. And so we see now that the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And everything they're saying is true. But it's dry, like crackers. It's just like eating crackers. You ever eat just a handful of crackers with no salt, unleavened, with no salt on? Shoot. It's just, your mouth gets so dry, you'd give anything for a drink of water. That's the way it is in a lot of churches. You listen to them preach and preach and preach. You thought, man, I'd give anything for just something fresh, something that was some seasoning in it, something that makes it taste good. I'll tell you what, brother, you know what you makes a service salty? Good doctrine, good counsel, good conversation. Thank God, brother. Brother, well, I like it when once in a while somebody gets up and flings out a little salt on the crowd. It makes it taste good. It makes it taste good. I mean, it just makes it better. When I get corn on the cob, I put butter all over it, and then I salt it and spin it around, man. Salt it, and I get it all over me. I don't see anybody eats corn. I don't see anybody eats anything without getting it on their fingers. Where was I? I was somewhere eating the other day, and I was almost through eating, and I looked over and I didn't even touch my fork. I don't ever use a fork. I don't see no sense. Now, I like to get it with my fingers. And it feels good like it, where it starts running around your fingernails. Amen. Then when you get through, you can lick it off like that. Glory. Woo! Boy, that's when it's getting good, man. I mean, when you wipe it off like that, boy, and so I've been in some fancy places, believe it or not. They took me in a lot of fancy places, and I kind of watch everybody else see what they're going to do before I do what I'm going to do, you know. And, you know, they do this. I don't see how somebody eats with one of their hands stuck on their knee. How can you eat like that?
I tried it, man. You can't do it. You're sitting there like this. Before I know it, I'm grabbing my drink, you know. Why do you think God gave you two hands, you dummy? You say, that's not proper. You are a nut. That didn't come out of the Bible. Listen, Emily Post ain't God, man. Listen, that's what God gave you fingers for. You better use them. You might get them took away from you. Did you know something? Listen, salt seasons food and makes it taste good. I don't think you ought to just be a dog or a hog or something, but you ought to enjoy your food. And that's what makes it taste good is that salt. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I've been in revival meetings and, you know, it going real kind of dry for a while. But about that time, somebody would get up and sing or somebody would have a testimony and it just salts that thing down. Just make you lick your chops, man, to another good dose of the Lord. Amen. That's right. Number three. Salt purges and cleanses meat from poisons. Now, I didn't know that till I looked it up. I studied it a little bit, looked at it. Did you know that salt will actually draw out poisons out of meat? I didn't know that. I thought once it's bad, it's bad. But I mean, salt sometimes will even pull out something bad out of it. I thought, Lord, it ain't no wonder the Lord said we is the salt of the earth. We actually draw out wickedness out of the hearts of men. Amen? Amen. That's right. We keep up against it. I've heard people a lot of times stand up in church and say, boy, I was a heathen and I was wicked as a devil until I started working beside so-and-so. And I seen them reading their Bible every day. And I seen them pray every day. And then about sooner or later, I wound up going to church and I got saved. That salt drew out that poison out of that person and changed their entire life. It purges and cleanses meat from poison. Amen? Sure it does. There's something about salt. There's something about preaching. There's something about teaching the Word of God that'll pull the sin out of people's heart. I'll just say, it just crossed my mind. It just popped in my head, so I'm going to say it. I was noticing our girls up here when they was singing a while ago. Didn't they look like a blessing? I mean, them dresses down to there like that. Hey, they didn't look like that when they first come here. I mean, when some of them first come, they was wearing them up to there and down to here. I mean, it wasn't this much. And boy, I mean, they're split down to here like that. And I've had some of them tell me, they'll say, preacher, I go try to find me some decent dresses and I can't, you're right, all you girls, listen, it's something about being around preaching and around praying and around, it'll pull you start being conscious about stuff like that where you never even thought of it before. You start wanting to cover up and be decent. That's what salt does to you. You go to a church where the people getting up looking like they're, you know, in a strip joint somewhere, and I'll show you a church that lacks some salt.
Yes, sir.
Amen? That salt pull that evil out of you. It sure will. By the way, while I'm on, I might as well just say it. Listen, it's hard enough out there in the world, girls. I mean, these guys, I mean, everywhere you look, you see sin, flesh, flesh, flesh. If there's one place you ought to be able to go and not have to worry about that, it's the house of God. Boy, I tell you, I mean, all of them still ain't what they ought to be, but thank God you can see a work of grace going on in their life. They're not, you know, a lot of them tell me, they say, well, Brother Danny, everything I buy is either cut down to here, slid up to here, or something like that. Do like I tell my wife. She goes and buys a dress. She said, this one, first thing she does when you go home is sew a big thing right across the front of it right here. You got to nowadays, unless you want to look like a sleaze. And then the first thing you do with them slits is sew them up about halfway. Amen? You know that old verse of Scripture, slits are for sluts. But I tell you, first thing you do is cover them down. I'm throwing a little salt on you now. Don't get mad at me. I love you. I'm sweet, really. I am. I mean, it ain't my fault. That you say, well, if I sew it up, here's the way you'd have to walk in some of them. Buy about three sizes bigger, man. You don't have to buy it three sizes too little and then suck in and zip it up like you're going skin diving or something. Hey, you know what salt does? It pulls the evil out. Pulls the evil out. Amen. Throw you a big piece of cloth right here. Sew it up down through there. You make it decent. Make it decent. You say, I don't know, sir. Miss Opal does. She's the best in town. Amen. The Parker girls do. All ladies in here, they'll help you. They'll be a blessing to you. I'm telling you tonight, salt pulls the evil out. I've seen some of these teenage boys going driving down the road. What do you listen to? Say, I don't listen to nothing but the youth choir, the Parker family, and Allendale, and, you know, and on and on and on like that. You know what that is? That salt will pull that sin right out of you, man. It'll pull that sin right out of you. I remember I preached a message here several years ago, and I preached this message on don't let them get your Bible. And I was talking about the King James Bible and how it was the true Word of God and so forth and so on. And, you know, about a year or two went by, and one night I was in here on Sunday night just like this. I'd had a rough day. People jumped on. I had a phone call in there. Somebody wanting to talk to me on the phone. Somebody else was wanting me here. There was two Mormons standing over here wanting to argue. And there's over here like this one night. Somebody kept saying, Brother Danny, somebody wants you on the phone. I said, I'll be there in a minute. I thought, oh no. That's somebody else wanting to fuss at me. I don't want to be fussed at no more today. And I talked to these Mormons. We were fussing around with them, you know, a little bit. Finally, I went over there and answered the phone. And this guy from up and down Spruce Pine was on the phone. This is about like a year after I preached that message. And he said, is this Danny Castle? And I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, I just want to tell you something. I thought, oh, no, not again, Lord. I don't need this today. He said, I got a tape of yours. And he said, it's called Don't Let Them Get Your Bible. And he said, I just want you to know that I've been searching and trying to find out the truth on that. And that's just exactly what I needed. I said, oh. I needed that. And he said, my pastor in a Baptist church, he said, my pastor told us that the NIV was the best Bible. And he said, I knew it wasn't right. And he said, I didn't want to cause no trouble. But he said, I didn't know how to prove it. And he said, the stuff that you gave on that tape was just what I needed. And I said, well, hallelujah, brother. I appreciate that. That's a blessing. I'm glad it helped you. And I said, but by curiosity, I thought somebody here gave it. I said, where'd you get that tape? He said, I got it out of the dumpster. That's what he said. I said, you got it out of the dumpster? He said, that's right. I found it. He said, I was down there and going looking at the trash, and I picked it up, and it said, don't let them get your Bible. He said, I've been wondering about that issue. Oh, what the truth was. He said, I've been searching for it. Now, you know, I didn't really know how to feel about that. I wanted to shout. And then it kind of hurt my feelings too. Because I thought, somebody threw my tape in the dumpster. And that hurt my feelings. That's what you call mixed emotions. It's like when your mother-in-law drives your Cadillac off a cliff. That's mixed emotions. Now, look. I didn't know whether I should be happy, and I thought, well, God preserved that tape and led that old boy down out of the trash can. He wasn't there the day before, he wasn't there the day after. Right on that day, there he is, get it, son, pick it up. And I thought that little grain of salt went up to Spruce Pine, salted that old boy down, gave him the ammunition he needed, and was a blessing to him. Brother, salt purges and cleanses me from poison. Thank God. Just keep putting it out, fellas. You keep putting them tracks out. Amen. Keep putting them out. Keep putting them out. Keep putting them out. God will bless those things. Number four, salt sparkles and burns when it's cast into a fire. Isn't that amazing? Makes you hot, fervent, and zealous for God. You know, when salt hits a frying pan, it just starts. It's fireworks, buddy. Fireworks. That's the way we ought to be. Amen? Makes it sparkle. Makes it hot. Thank God, brother. I'll tell you what, brother. I'll tell you if there's anything our church services need now, it's some spark in them. It's some fire in them. Let me tell you something tonight. When people honestly, sincerely are praising God from their heart and sprinkling salt on the services, I tell you, it's just like fireworks begin in the house of God. One gets happy, another gets happy. And you know, we're kind of overdue for that, you know. We've been like a little dry here lately. I know we like to work ourselves to death on the school and backslid over it and everything. But I want to tell you something, brother. God's still God. Heaven's still heaven. Hell's still hot. Our name's still in the book of life. It's still real enough. Oh, for a soul once in a while.
Come on.
Amen. Listen, teenagers, God's still real tonight, just like He was 8 months ago when you was bawling your eyes out every service. He's still God. He's still real. Get a little salty once in a while. You're looking at one preacher that don't intend to change and get formal. Like this world is going. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe God's pleased with it. I believe God wants His people to meet and worship Him when we come to the house of God. By the grace, people say, well, what if big shots from uptown come here and they get scared with everybody hollering amen? Well, they'll just have to learn like everybody else. You're going to heaven, ain't you? You know what they're going to do in heaven? They're going to raise the roof off that place when we get to it. Shouting is in order. Shouting is decent. Shouting is right. Shouting is proper. Brother, in the Word of God, let me turn back to the book of Ezra here just a second. Let's do just a little quick verse. I just read this the other day. Boy, it got a hold of me. The book of Ezra, chapter 3. Hurry now. We ain't got all night. Ezra, chapter number 3. Ezra chapter number 3 here. Let me show you what the Bible said. Now I know this will go out all over parts of North Carolina and South Carolina on the radio. And I want everybody to listen. Listen to the Word of God. Listen how they worship God in the Bible. Ezra chapter 3. You got it? Hurry. Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 11. And they sang together, like the youth choir, like the adult choir, like the congregation, by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Verse number 11, you're looking at it, what does it say? And all, not the front row, not the young preachers, not a few teenagers who don't know no better, not a few emotional, overboard, weak fanatics. All the people shouted with a great shout. When they praised the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's house of the Lord was laid. Look here, verse 12. And many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise. You couldn't tell which one was crying, which one was shouting. It sounded like one big loud roar. They were the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Amen. That's how they worship God in the Bible. That's how they worship. You say, well, I'll tell you what, preacher. I go to a church where everything is quiet and reverent. You go to a weird church. And it ain't my fault. Don't you start criticizing me. Quit judging, man. You're the one who goes to the weird church, not me. I read you how they worship God in the Bible. Lady up the street here one time, she said, I want to ask you one question. I was trying to get her to come to church. She said, do you yell when you preach? I said, oh. Yes, ma'am, I do. She said, I can't stand it. She said, it bothers my nerves. A minute later, I said, ma'am, you go to ball games? She said, yes. I said, don't they yell there? And she said, yes, but it's different. So it's not really yelling that bothers people. It's what we're yelling. It's that spirit. That's what gets on people's nerves. Makes them... put you under conviction, man. My spirit started moving. Listen, I tell you what, brother. I like to see it get on. We got a door right over there. Still ain't never been right yet since one of our camp meetings. Somebody come around here, run the bases, knock that door off a hinge. You say, in church? Sure, man. You believe God's in all that? Well, he probably ain't. Reckon he's in all that sleeping at your church?
There you go.
Amen. Probably ain't, is he? Said one time down there in the church, had these metal doors on the side like that, goes outside, and once in a while one of them boys would get excited and run the bases. You ever see? I like to see them do that. Get out of meow. Son, you better get out of the way too, son. Here they come, meow. Come in the front door, come in, and then just sit back down. One old boy got really happy. They said he took off a running. He was going to run out that side door, come around the church and back in the aisle. You know, he just ran like crazy. Somebody locked that door. He didn't know it. He come flying around there. Tried to open that door and bang. Just walk back over here, you know. Sit down in his seat. Oh, he felt like a fool. I tell you, one where you ought to see one time, you'll see church's funniest videos, is where that songbook hit Sister Deborah down there in Florida. Man, like a guided missile. Here it comes. Boop. I mean, they just kept right singing, never missed a lick. I mean, just right on. What a blessing. Amen. You say God wasn't in that. He probably wasn't. But I'll tell you one thing. I like to see people enjoy their self, make a service good and salty, and let her go, brother. Let her go. Sure, you're going to have some wildfire. Sure, you're going to have some nuthead. Sure, you're going to have some weirdo. We attract all kinds of weirdos here to our church. So did the apostles. Amen. They know something's going on here. It don't take a smart person to know something's going on here. You can walk in here. You can feel it, man. It's like electricity. There's something here. Hallelujah. It's salt. Makes it good, brother. Makes it good. Sparkles. Sparkles. I tell you, somebody may not always have it right. One old lady stood up one time. She said, praise God, I just can't wait till I get to heaven and see my husband. I got two of them up there. Some testimony. I tell you, that boy down there in South Carolina that night, that blew my mind. Y'all have heard me. A drug addict and everything else. He just got right. I mean, he was on the front row. He's about to explode. You talk about a salty Christian, son. That boy, every few minutes, he'd jump up. Woo! Woo! You didn't have to say nothing. He'd shout. I mean, I loved it. I loved it. It was so fresh being around somebody like that. Well, I got through preaching that night. I went in the office here, changed shirts because it was real sweaty. And I put on a dry shirt. And I came out, and it's still going on. They was having testimony. It was getting real. God blessed that revival. It went on for, I think, almost two weeks, something like that. And I sat down at the organ, you know, and I just sitting there watching them laughing and getting a blessing, people standing up, giving testimonies and everything. That old boy jumped up. He come running around the front. He was completely lost his mind. I mean, he looked like he was on a trance or something. He come across the front of the church. He said, look at you know. He was in another world, man. He is on another planet somewhere. And he said, I'm saved. I'm saved. Glory to God. Like it, he said, I'm so saved. He said, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm saved. He said, I'm so saved, I could swing out over hell on a grapevine and shoot the devil a bird when I went by. That's what he said. He said it, brother. That's what he said. And I was sitting over here. I was sitting over here at the organ. I went, oh, my soul. I went, it embarrassed me. I just looked down and everybody in the church, you know, they did. Some of them was laughing and some of them was going. And the pastor, it was so funny. What was so funny was the pastor was standing up here like this, and you know the pastor, he's trying to be the godly man of God, and he's going, Look at you. He got real red and he said, well, here's what he said. It's so funny. The pastor said, well, he said, I guess if you're going to shoot anybody one, it ought to be the devil. That's right. And I said, glory to God. Woo! Let her go. Amen. I tell you what, I'd rather hear an old boy like that get fired up and give a testimony than I had a bunch of dead religion where nobody ever praised God. Brother, God's still God. He's still on his throne. We ought to praise him once in a while. Amen. Thank God. You say, that's emotionalism. Why do you think God give you emotions? It ain't to scream your guts out at a football game. It's to worship him with. That's what emotions are for. Amen. I tell you what, brother. Matter of fact, salt is used as a de-icer. You know when you got ice out on your steps and you want to melt it, you know what you put on it? Salt! You know what a lot of these churches around this part of the country need? They need somebody to come in and rail a Bible up the air and say, well, glory, it's good to be saved. That'll melt some of that ice in that crowd. You and you, I mean, some of these young preachers go in some of them places, boy, it'd be just like putting salt on a snail, man. Just melting the pastor. Amen. Number five, salt makes people thirsty. Salt makes people thirsty. You listen to me, Christian? You know what makes people want what we got? Salt. Lord said, have salt in yourselves. Ain't that what he said? Let your speech be with grace. See, have salt in yourself. What was he talking about? That special spirit of seasoning that makes people want what we've got. Now be honest. When you're around a victorious, happy, salty Christian, don't you just like to be around and say, man, I tell you, I want some of that. I want a little bit of what they've got. You know, when our young people is really on fire for the Lord, I tell you what, when they, you just couldn't hear them sing enough. Amen? Son, you just eat it up. I tell you, after youth camp last year, every church we went to, I hardly ever even got to preach. They just take over. They just put so much salt on that crowd, everybody just licked it up. And it's not talent. And it's not musical ability. It's salt. It's a spirit. Now, salt makes people thirsty. Sister Kerr, the other night before I left, coming back down here, I guess they was worried about me having a wreck or something. And they come to church. They brought me a cooler full of ice. They brought me a bunch of cups. They brought me a bag full of Reese cups, sugar babies, milk duds. See, what else is in there? I don't know what. I mean, tons of stuff. And a bag of Doritos about that. A big, huge bag of Doritos. I opened that in there, man, it felt like, smelled like rotten feet in my car. I really don't eat them things when I'm around somebody. But did you know what? When I go to the grocery store, there's one section that I just can't hardly walk through without my mouth watering. And it's the section where all the potato chips and stuff like that are. When I walk through there, you know, I mean, man, I can't hardly stand it. I want to grab pretzels, Doritos, cheese and crackers. That stuff makes you, I don't know, you lust after it or something. You it makes you thirsty. And what you do is you eat a Dorito, and that makes you thirsty. And then that kills you a thirst, and you eat another Dorito. That makes you thirsty again. I was eating by the handfuls. I was eating sugar babies. I was eating Reese cups. I don't know how many of them I ate. I mean, I'm just piling them in. Salt makes people thirsty. As a matter of fact, Lay's potato chip. think it's Lay's, I guess it is, isn't it? Has had as their famous slogan all these many years. What? Bet you can't eat just one. Now, why do they say that? Because when you eat one, something in it makes you want another. And that's a truth, man. You can't eat just one. Peanuts, same way. You eat one peanut, I don't believe it. You can't do it, son. I want a handful. I start out just eating like a couple. And then I'm just grabbing them, doing like it, just cramming them in my mouth. That's all. I love that kind of stuff. Really, boy, it gives you a bellyache. But it tastes good. It makes you thirsty. It gives you thirst. That's why I want our church to be. You know what? I was going to tell them, put out there on our sign, bet you can't come just once. Wouldn't that be neat? We'll do that sometime. Bet you can't come just once. Because I've had a lot of people say, well, come one. They said, that's pretty good. Give me another one of them. Come back next Sunday. First thing you know, they're just cramming it in like this. Salt makes people thirsty. Never forget, Donald Jackson moved up here from Forest City to run the ABC store. Right up the street here. That's why he moved to McDowell County. And we prayed during all that time. When it first time, boy, it broke our hearts when they voted in liquor and beer and wine. Some nut said, well, people's going to get it anyway. Well, they ought to get it from bootleggers and let people know that it's wrong and illegal. Amen. Not the city put our approval on.
Amen.
You ain't never got over it yet, have you? No, I ain't. And you're backslid if you have.
Amen.
Still wrong now, just like it. Little bit's wrong. That much wrong, that much wrong, that much wrong. Donald Jackson moved up here to manage that ABC store. And little did we know, somebody talked him into coming to church, and his wife come and everything. First thing you know, Donald come in over here. He'd got out of that and had retired. Come in over one morning and come to the altar and got saved. And not too long after that, he died and went to heaven. We had his funeral, and I'll never forget, or they had his funeral, and I'll never forget thinking, man, because he tasted some salt here and got thirsty for the water of life, the guy who used to run a liquor store for a living is now in heaven with Jesus. Makes people thirsty, folks. I tell you it does. Number 6. Salt makes meat fit for food. It's no good without it. So by a godly season life, Christians make the Word of God fit to be received. When we live in sin and wickedness, it perverts the gospel that we're trying to tell people about. Amen? Bible said in Genesis 34:30 that Jacob's sons made the land to stink. And I'm convinced tonight that Christians who profess to know God then go out and live any wicked way in the world, we make the gospel stink to a lost world. You know what's wrong with a lot of people in the world tonight? The reason they won't come to church? Because they've seen so many Christians come into church and then go right back out and live the same way they do. And they say, well, they go to church. It don't do them no good. Why should I go? Because Christians ain't salty. You ever gone to a restaurant to eat a good meal and found a hair in your food? That can dampen your appetite. I just pull them out, throw them away, and I go ahead with it. But you know, a lot of people floss your teeth with that when you get done. But a lot of people say, no, I am not eating this. Well, after it's out, you can eat it. If you knew what was in there. Hey, you know what they used to, I heard at a certain hamburger joint here in town, when some of the young people worked there, if McDowell lost the ball game and the other team come to get hamburgers, when they was in there, all the other team, they'd spit on their hamburgers. I can tell you who it is after service if you want to know. Them people just downed it and never know the difference, man. My soul. Can't imagine that. I wouldn't eat it if I knew somebody spit on it. That's why you better go easy on all that dressing and all that junk. You don't know what you're getting. You better look at it too. May have foreign objects on it. You know what makes people not want to eat? When they come to church and they go, shoot, I ain't never going back there again. When they find a hair in their food. That's my job, to serve a good meal here. It's your job to turn around and shake people's hands, make them welcome. Well, I heard something really hurt me the other day, and I hope it ain't true. I don't think it is, because most people don't say this. Somebody said, well, I went to that church up there in New Man, and they said, they're just not friendly. I thought, well, you know, I don't know who they sit beside or anything, but you got to be careful about stuff like it. Most people don't say that. They say, people really receive me good. They're real nice. But turn around. Be nice to people. Don't be a hair in their food. Don't be a booger on their plate, man. Make them want to come back. You say, I'll never come back after this. Well, you may not, but I'm just telling you the good way and the bad way. You ever been to a church trying to get a blessing and saw a roach in the choir? What's he doing up there? I work with that hypocrite. I heard him tell a dirty joke the other day. Have you ever been in a restaurant and while you're eating, the roach crawl across the table or across the back of a booth? You know, you're sitting in a booth. And there goes one down through there like that. You just flip them off like that, you know? Say, oh, I want to go back there. That's the way people look at a church when they come back and see a big roach right over here or over here somewhere. Or a roach in the choir, youth choir. Well, he's an old slimy, greasy roach. Number 7, this will be last. When salt loses its savor, it is good for nothing. Now you think about that. Jesus said, when salt loses its savor, its flavor, its saltiness, that is good for nothing. You can't think of one thing you can use it for. You can't give it to the young'uns to play with. I mean, it'll stick all over their hands. You can't make a sandbox out of it. You can't put it on food. You can't throw it on the ground and kill everything. What do you do with salt? That ain't salty. It's good for nothing. You just throw it out on the dung hill. So you throw it in the sewer. And that's where a Christian is. Y'all listening to me, young people? A Christian that's not on fire for the Lord is just like salt that has no salt in it. There's no use in even having it. It has no purpose on earth. Just taking up space. An absolute waste. Now, I'll tell you something. You can't lose your salvation. But you can lose your saltiness. You'll always be salt. But you may not always be salty. Our kids that go to our school, these kids that come from other churches, they're watching you. You're supposed to set the example. You should be the ones giving testimonies in chapel. You should be the ones on fire. You should be the one they looked at. Not them looking and say, oh yeah, I thought they had a spiritual youth group. Look at who and so, you know. You people at work, out in these factories and stuff, they judge our whole church by you. By you.
Oh, yeah, I heard that some. I thought he's supposed to be a good preacher. Look what I've seen one of his members do. I've had people call me. Say, Dave, you need to help talk with your members. I say, man, I fuss at them every week. You see if you can do anything with them. You can make the whole church stink if you're salt that ain't salt. Thank God there's one difference between you and salt. Once salt has lost its flavor, it can't never get it back. You can. You can be salty once again. But I tell you what you're going to have to do. It's going to take more than a little trip to the altar. You're going to have to make yourself start reading that Bible 5-10 chapters a day. Make yourself pray. When you want to get up, stay on them knees. And stay seeking God till you get salty again. You're going to have to. There's a man here in our church tonight told me one time, he said he got cold on God. He said he got to the place where he didn't even want to read the Bible. That's when you're getting in trouble. And he said, I knew I was in trouble and I had to make myself read my Bible till I got back in there where I need to be. Smart man. Smart man. If salt loses its savor, good for nothing. It ain't worth a flip. No purpose on earth. That's why Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Let's stand. Bow our heads for prayer. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. There's Christians here tonight. Say, preacher, I want to be salt. I want to be what Jesus said, the salt of the earth. I want somebody to come up to me at work or school and say, hey, you've got something. You've got something. How about you kids in school? How long has it been since somebody come up to you and said, hey, man, you've got something I need. You've got something I want. There's something different. There's something special about you. I want it. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in our lives. Make this preacher salty. Make this church salty. Oh God, may we have a salty witness and testimony in Marion, McDowell County, North Carolina, across the United States, even to the, around the world, from right here. Oh Lord, do it for your glory. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
310.
Number 310.